RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Run for your lives. It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
Thursday morning, taking you up to the top of the hour, AWOD Radio takes over. Then I'm MP Michael Phillips on the mic this morning. AWOD Radio takes over. AWOD's in Richmond. Can't wait to get his take on the Joe Bamisil decision yesterday. I'm up here in Ashburn doing some interviews, taking you inside the Commander's locker room as we do on Thursdays. I'm not naive. It's kind of a dud of a season at this point. And there's not a lot to play for. And that was kind of the theme of the questions that I asked the guys yesterday inside the locker room. What do you do? What do you play for? And I think you'll be impressed by their candor, largely. Jonathan Allen said, you play for the name on the back of the jersey now. Logan Thomas said, hey, everybody's got something to play for, right? Old guys trying to prove they can hang in the league like him. Young guys trying to prove they deserve that next contract. Whatever it might be, everybody's got to lean deep on their own incentive. And I think that's smart. I mean, that's what they're playing for. And I think the coaching staff is largely leaned into that as well. Ron Rivera, he fires Jack Del Rio, talks about simplifying the scheme, letting everybody go be playmakers, and people aren't being asked to be team players as much right now. Players are getting tasked with going out, making plays. I didn't get the sense they had thrown in the towel by any stretch on the effort, the practice time. You'll hear from Antonio Gibson. He said likewise. But, I want to start with Jonathan Allen because last time we heard from him, he was on the Junkies saying he would consider leaving D.C. this offseason, asking for a trade, saying he couldn't go through another rebuild. You heard him earlier this year, hey, it's been 7 years. I'm tired of losing. And he is. He is tired of losing. So this is an interview with Jonathan Allen here in the Washington Commanders locker room yesterday as we take you inside the Commanders locker room. It's 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
Besides the playoffs, because I feel like there's a lot of things that are out of our control. Mm-hmm. And, for the most part, until we start to play better, I'm not really worried about that. I'm trying to take it game by game. But besides that, I definitely play for legacy. I play for what the name will be left when I'm done playing the football game. You know, for a lot of guys in the locker room, a lot of them are playing for the fame. A lot of them playing for money. So it really just depends. But I know for me, besides compete and win, I'm playing for the legacy and the name on the back of my jersey.
Last time we heard from you before the bye week, you were talking about keeping your options open to evaluate your future and, you know, wanting to be somewhere where you could win potentially. What are some of the things you'd want to see here in the coming weeks and the coming offseason to show you this is a place you could be and be a part of a winning organization in a way?
You know, that's kind of a tough question to ask. You know, in the middle of the season, it's unrealistic to expect things to change and get to exactly where I wanted to be. At the end of the day, I just want to be competitive and I want to compete. And I think we can do that here. I really do. So, I mean, like I said, my goal is to win. And I'm going to do everything in my power to put myself in a position to help an organization do that and help this organization do it.
I always love chatting with Jonathan Allen. And I appreciate the candor, right? You know, some of the guys, right, Ron Rivera made the statement, hey, we're not out of the playoffs yet. Mathematically, if we run the table, we could still get in. He wasn't having any of that because he doesn't take that BS. And I think that's why fans have gravitated to a great story, obviously, you know, having been through the foster care system, having, you know, been a number of different places as a military child. He's got a great story. Fans connect with that. But I think the number one reason people connect with Jonathan Allen is he gets it. Like, he's not trying to sell us a load of anything. Oh, we're still in it if things break right and 17 teams lose different games. No. He's like, we're not playing well enough to think about that, and they're not playing well enough to think about that. I think the thing that makes this interesting, and he knows this too, he's a D.C. guy, and he's a D.C. star, and he's loved here. That contract makes him really tradable. This is the offseason he comes in for a raise, and I don't know if a new team's going to be excited about giving him, a new team here is going to be excited about giving him that, or if they're going to send him somewhere where he could get that. But he's in line for a raise. I know that sounds crazy to say after the season, but his contract is now way below market value. He's going to be angling for some more money this offseason, as he should. And with a contract that low and entering that option year, and he's still got some good football ahead of him, he's still playing some good football, he's a guy who's going to be very easy to move this offseason, move for new parts. Now, a lot of it is new coaching staff takes over, new GM takes over, new team president takes over. They've got to evaluate how long will it be until this team becomes a winner again, right? So if you decide, we think we can rebuild this plane while we're flying it, 2 years, 1 year with 9 wins, next year we're a contender, I think you keep Jonathan Allen around. He's a great locker room piece. He's a star here. I think you keep him around. If you decide this thing's a full teardown, I think you've got to consider moving Jonathan Allen this offseason. Certainly the fact that he's kept the door open to being moved makes the whole thing easier and less painful. If he is moved, I'm not going to be cast in blame anywhere. It's a no-fault divorce, right? If it happens, it's a guy who gave his all, didn't get the results at the end of the day for it, and you send him off to somewhere where he can win immediately, a team that would want his services at that point. So I think Jonathan Allen's really one of the more interesting offseason stories. Now, I'm also very aware, as we do inside the Commanders locker room here on Thursdays, up here in Ashburn at Commanders Park, it's depressing to be talking about the future on December 14th. It's depressing to be talking about the future with 4 games left. There's 4 games left in this season, and we're talking about the future. That's depressing. I get that. But that's where we are, and certainly, I think Jonathan Allen is a big piece of that, and I think he could be moved. I think there's also a scenario where the new group says, hey, look, we got to keep some players here. We got $90 million in cap space. Money doesn't matter. We can extend him out, and that would be equally lauded as well by me. But clearly the door is open on both sides to that discussion, and we'll see what happens, and we'll see what happens next there. Also had a great discussion yesterday with Antonio Gibson. The running back's in line for a bigger share this weekend, right? Brian Robinson is out with a hamstring injury. He didn't practice yesterday. We'll see what happens as the week goes on. Obviously, he'll try to play. But if he can't go, it's a real opportunity for Antonio Gibson to showcase himself. Another guy who is in a contract year. This is the end of his rookie contract, and with the new coaching staff coming in, he's basically a free agent now. He's got a chance to show his stuff. Here was my chat with Antonio Gibson. We're inside the Commanders locker room.
If anything, yourself and your teammates, regardless of, you know, how it's going and how it went, we put in the work. We come here day in and day out, and, you know, we're away from family a lot. We spend a lot of time with each other. So I just say finish strong. You know, fight for yourself, I feel like, for pride, you know what I'm saying, and not giving up these last 4 weeks and going out there and putting some good stuff on film.
Do you start thinking about your future at this point, and this may be your last 4 weeks?
My focus is right here, right now, with my teammates, finish off this season, and see how we do.
Do you feel like, so there were the fumbles early in the year, but statistically you don't fumble more often than averaging. Do you feel maybe misunderstood in that aspect a little bit?
Definitely. You know, that year I led the league. Can't do that.
Yeah.
I caught hell for that. But year after that, I had no fumbles.
Yeah.
And I still, as soon as the first one dropped, it was, oh, you doing this again? So, you know, I just let it go in and out one year. It happens. I'm not the only one it happens to. So it is what it is.
Speaking broadly across the whole offense, have you seen it evolve over the course of the year? The way it's called, the way you guys are used?
Just the way he kind of exposes everybody's talents. I don't think there's been like one guy who's just been, you know, just mainly getting the ball. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's been getting it. Everybody's been put in different situations to make plays. And just the you know, to see the growth of like how Sam's been going, you know, trying to catch on to it, and the way he's been doing week in and week out, you know, that's just, you know, a positive thing to look forward to.
We've seen him grow on the field. Have you seen him grow in here as a leader too?
Definitely got way more vocal throughout the season. Yeah. He's kind of a cool guy. I don't know if y'all can tell by just talking to him in interviews, but he's cool, he's laid back, but he starts to talk more, breaking down the huddles, you know, giving us a little prep talk before games and stuff like that. So, you know, that's something probably he told us have to work on, and he's been doing a good job at that.
There you go. There's Antonio Gibson inside the Commander's locker room. Michael Phillips, MP, on the mic here on 910 The Fan. I mentioned his fumbling issues, which I think he's been unfairly dogged for, because that year he mentioned, his second year in the league, where he had the fumbling issues, they were in really high-profile situations, right? He cost them points almost every time he did that. One of them was right on their own goal line where the opponent punched it in right away. They were super unfortunate fumbles in addition to being fumbles, but actually over the course of his career, statistically, it's true. He fumbles it at an NFL average rate, and I think this year he's proven he's still got the explosive nature. He's certainly got plenty of mileage left in him. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up somewhere or here next year. I think him and Curtis Samuel are both really interesting discussions on that defense, right? Because with Curtis Samuel, you've got certainly a guy who has played really well this year, but is on a contract that overvalues his services. And those guys are always really hard to bring back, right? So when you've got a guy who's making too much money relative to what he's producing, if another team offers him $9 million a year and the Commanders offer him $9 million a year, he's more likely to be insulted by the Commanders' offer than he is by the other team's offer, which is one of the realities of humanity and negotiations and money and economic things that we certainly don't have the time, nor do I have the intelligence to dive into today. But that's what Curtis Samuel's facing, right, is he's on a contract that's too big for what he is, but what he is a good NFL player. Antonio Gibson, a guy who has certainly produced to his draft status of being a third-round guy, there's no mega contract waiting for him, but I do think there's a home waiting for him somewhere, and I think he speaks very knowledgeably on the offense and what they're doing. You heard him say, look, nobody's throwing the towel in. They're out there. They're putting the work in. You know, one of the stories that came out during the bye week, right, was Eric Bieniemy's working them too hard, and there's a pushback against that. I've noticed yesterday there does seem to be a throttling back of that. I'm curious if that's in reaction to the story. We'll get a chance to talk to Eric Bieniemy today. I'll have more thoughts on that tomorrow during tomorrow's program. I'll be very curious, you know, where the offense goes from here as a group that now it's out there that they have not been thrilled with Eric Bieniemy's coaching style. Some of them have not been thrilled with Eric Bieniemy's coaching style. But also, there's opportunity here to prove yourself against some really good defenses down the stretch, right? Start with the Rams this week. Aaron Donald's going to be lining up on the other side. Jets defense speaks for itself. The Niners are Super Bowl caliber. And then you finish with the Cowboys. That's a tough final four stretch there for the offense. but it's a group that could make some hay as well and make a statement. And we've seen some teams do that. I'll be very curious which team shows up in Los Angeles. Got a little more inside the locker room for you. Some final thoughts. We'll hand it off to AWOD Radio. All that on the other side of this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Home stretch here. MP on the mic. 910 The Fan. We'll hand it off to AWOD Radio momentarily. I'm in Ashburn. He's in Richmond. We both have plenty to say about the issues of the day. If you missed anything from this program, hit the Odyssey app with the rewind button. Find us on all major podcast platforms. We ran out of time in the last segment. I do want to play one more interview with you. It's Logan Thomas. You know I love talking to Logan Thomas. We probably have him on the program a disproportionate amount, which is okay because he's a Hokie. He's a home state guy. He's fun to watch. He makes big catches. All he does is hang in there and get rocked over the middle and get first downs for the Washington Commanders. I don't know where he'll be next year. What I do know is we asked him about Aaron Donald, and his responses were great because he and Aaron Donald played against each other more than a decade ago when Logan Thomas was the quarterback at Virginia Tech and Aaron Donald was wreaking havoc on the Pitt defensive line. So here's Logan Thomas. We're inside the Commanders locker room on 910 The Fan.
He's got to know where he is at all times. I played against him a bunch. I played against him a couple times in college. So
okay.
He's not hard to miss. That mouth runs a decent amount. He ain't afraid to say it either. But no, good dude. But yeah, you know where he's at all times. So
is that one of the cool challenges in this league? You're gonna face, you know, NFL guys every week. But when a guy like that, does your come to the hair stand up and go like, all right, I got to be on my P's and Q's here?
No doubt. You don't play a Hall of Famer every single week, and that's what it'll be. First ballot, no question. Best defensive player in our generation, most likely. So, yeah, you got to know where he's at.
Is he a talker?
I mean, from my experiences in college and early on, yeah. I think the last time we played him, he was a little more mild. He's older like I am now, so that probably comes with age.
Hey, you got the new tamer, Aaron Donald. Comes with age, right? I think he's got the chance to make some noise. He's had four sacks before against this Washington team. You know he's going to be licking his chops against Sam Howell. That was one of the main points of emphasis coming out of the bye, right, is, and Sam Howell self-identified this as well. We talked to Sam Howell yesterday, and he said, look, I'm playing at my best when I make a quick decision, when I throw the ball quickly, when I get it out quickly, release it quickly. And he knows that, and obviously, his coaches know that. It's not a matter of knowing what to do. It's a matter of doing it. And certainly Aaron Donald staring down at you is a pretty good incentive to do what you need to do and to do it quickly. Here's Logan Thomas on what they're playing for this week now that the playoffs are out of reach.
I think it's all personal at this point, right? Everybody's got something to gain, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the players. We all have something personal to accomplish, whether it's you're a rookie trying to make it or you're an old guy still trying to get it done. So, for us, you take it in that approach, you play for the man next to you, and all the things will fall into place.
And that's where we're at with the Washington Commanders, right, as we get ready for Sunday's game against the Rams. You can be tired of it, tired of watching it. I know a lot of people are. I'll be curious to see how the ratings come out from this, right, because I do think a lot of people have started turning their attention to the national NFL picture, to the Cowboys, to the Eagles. Even the Giants have a great story in Tommy DeVito. They're running their Taylor Heineke arc down there, right? They're in the spot where they're falling in love with the guy who came off his couch. He's got the mom making the Italian food and the agent who looks like a mobster. They'll probably give him a contract next year. He might have to play too often and fizzle out. I love it for them, though. I love it for the Giants that we've got that kind of character in the league. And I love it for them because I loved our Taylor Heineke era here. That was an all-timer. All right, so as we wrap up inside the locker room here on a Thursday on 910 The Fan, get ready to hand it over to AWOD Radio. An observation from yesterday, right? A lot of this is centered around why should you care? Why do you care? What's going to happen for the next 4 weeks? And I think there are intriguing subplots, right? Because these are four of the best defenses they're going to have played all year. And the big plot the rest of the way is Sam Howell good enough? And so he's going to find that out against the Rams, the Jets, the Niners, and the Cowboys, four really good defenses. But this is about the media. I was intrigued yesterday because the Washington Post, which is obviously the giant in the room when it comes to Commanders coverage, football team coverage, Redskins coverage, as it has been for years, for the first time that anybody could remember, possibly the first time ever, they didn't have a representative in Ashburn yesterday. Now, they got two great beat writers. Nikki Javallo is down at the NFL owners' meetings, which are certainly events of consequence. Sam Fortier has done great work reporting on the Capital One Arena story and the alliances as he was down at that unveiling at Potomac Yard. But they didn't send anybody else out in their place, and I thought that was interesting from both perspectives, right? I mean, they used to say the two best jobs at the Washington Post were covering the president and covering the Redskins. Well, the institution has changed and the team has changed. We've documented pretty well over the years how the team has changed. Certainly Dan Snyder ran it into the ground to a large extent. Their record this year speaks to the lack of interest. I think a lot of you probably won't be watching on Sunday, but are still tuned in from a distance watching the soap opera, waiting to see what's next, maybe getting ready to dip a toe back in. But from the Washington Post perspective as well, they've become a national newspaper, and their coverage of politics and of Capitol Hill over the years has earned them a lot of subscribers outside of the D.C. area who have never cared about the team and have no opinions and no interest in reading about them. And certainly a number of their columnists have written about more increasing national issues. Les Carpenter, who used to cover the team so well, is off covering the Olympics now in the U.S. national team, which are all great things for the Post to do. But it's fascinating to me to watch the love affair between the team and the town has fizzled on both ends. As the Post becomes a different institution and as the team becomes a different institution as well. No longer a civic pillar, no longer a situation where on Sundays the whole town stops and the whole state stops in Virginia and watches them play. Certainly still a lot of people will be watching on Sunday. A lot of people will buy back in if things change, if they get some wins, if they can put those back together. But there's certainly a piece of something that's never coming back. And it was interesting to see yesterday, as certainly for the first time anybody could remember, the Washington Post didn't have a staffer in Ashburn. Now, I've gone in on this before, and I've said this. I've spoken about this with regard to my situation, having worked at the Times-Dispatch covering the team. I think generally corporations are a few years late, not a few years early, in reacting to things. I think this probably was a sensible move 3 or 4 years ago as you began to sense the downfall of Dan Snyder and everything that was coming. I think as you look at right now, though, now's the time to be buying in. Now's the time to be buying in on coverage, on interest, on talking to players. And I'm certainly glad to be at The Fan where I can be up here, you know, talking to players, bringing those interviews to you. I know it doesn't seem that way right now, but Bill Belichick said you always want to be a year early, not a year late. I think you're a year early to the coming out party here for the Commanders and the story that's going to be written, but maybe a few years late to jumping off the bandwagon, which a lot of people should have done when that writing was on the wall back in 2013, back in those dark, dark final days under Mike Shanahan where things were falling apart, and you got the sense that no, Daniel Snyder wasn't going to change, no, Bruce Allen wasn't the answer, and then they limped along for a while. Just some interesting big picture thoughts. We'll maybe expand on that down the line. We got a lot of time to fill. We got a lot of weeks between here and the end of the season, but we'll be here for you. AWOD Radio will be here for you. He takes over next. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. But we've got a lot to break down on the VCU side of things today as well, because a court ruling yesterday provided a temporary injunction against the NCAA enforcing the waiting period on kids transferring between schools, right? So we emphasize this isn't done yet. It's a 14-day hold. You heard Lane Casadana, he was on earlier in the show, said he thinks this will ultimately be overturned. I'm not as optimistic. I think
if you look at what the judge was asking and what, you know, each side was filing, they're essentially saying these kids are not employees, therefore they should not be subject to laws and restrictions that are designed for employees, right? Like, you know, when I go on contract here, I'll sign a non-compete. I can't walk across the street and do a competing sports talk show. Those are rules that are put in place to protect the company doing the employing. There is no employing here. These are just student athletes. And so at least for the next 14 days, you've got the opportunity here to play anybody who's transferred, no matter how many times they've transferred. And this is a wild situation here because Joe Bamisil, who's going to be on his fourth team in 4 years, is now eligible to play for VCU, at least for the next 13 days as of yesterday's ruling. And I do think ultimately this will be overturned because I just don't think the NCAA is very forward-sighted in the things they do. I think the NCAA struggles to get ahead of things. They're too busy dragging their feet and trying to protect the way things were as opposed to jumping into the future, embracing this and crafting rules that can protect everybody because you need guardrails. You need protection. Otherwise, I mean, look at it. The Texas kid who's in the portal right now, Malik Murphy, their backup quarterback. Right now, under this law, under this court ruling, he could transfer to another school, enroll in classes, and play in a bowl game for a different school. He could go to Florida State and be their quarterback. And, you know, maybe Florida State shouldn't have been left out of the playoffs, right? In a world where they can just go get another quarterback anytime they need one. College basketball players would be able to leave at semester, go to a new team, and suit up for a new team. That's previously been banned by the NCAA. And it's just another example of the NCAA being short-sighted. But your implications for VCU here are equally wild because the VCU offense has struggled this year. That's been a big reason why they've lost the games they've lost. You got a big game coming up against Temple Saturday. Now you got Joe Bamisil, who hasn't played this year but has practiced. He was part of the closed-door exhibition games, the black and gold game. And you've got Sean Bairstow, who transferred in from Utah State. Now, he is eligible to play. He's just been hurt, but he may return to the court on Saturday against Temple. So you potentially got a huge shot in the arm for this offense, for the VCU offense. And all of a sudden, you got some decisions with Ryan Odom here because you got some more guys who are about to take up some more minutes. But I love this for the team's late game situations, right? That's what got them against Norfolk State. Just terrible play late in the game. You think back to Orlando, really weak finishes, particularly against Boise State, but also, you know, Iowa State gave it to him down the stretch, but they faded down the stretch too. You got a guy in Bamisil who can make clutch shots. You got a guy in Bairstow who's absolutely risen to the occasion in NCAA basketball games so far. So this thing opens up a whole big set of discussions for VCU. I continue to think, and I've said this before, ultimately it's a bad thing for college sports, free movement anywhere. Maybe the free market will take care of this, right? Because you got guys who are going on to NIL deals now. You got the NCAA proposal this week to let the schools pay the kids directly through NIL. Presumably, if you're offering an NIL contract, you could mandate terms. You could mandate a kid stay at a school and you know commit to a school over a period of time. But boy, it just we tilt further and further towards that professional spectrum every day. It'll be fascinating to watch over the next little while. All right, we're going to step aside here. Next segment coming up, you're going to hear from Roger Goodell. I'm going to fix the NFL's officiating problem. Then at 11:30, we'll go inside the Commanders' locker room. That's a Thursday tradition. And just because the team's bad doesn't mean we're bad. We're still making good radio. This is 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Thursday morning, what is up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, is the program, and it's that time of the week where we welcome in our guy, Lane Casadante.
He's the dean of local TV sports, and if it seems like he knows it all, that's because he does. It's time for Thursdays with Lane Casadante of CBS 6.
All right, Lane, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Phillips. How is everyone?
Everybody's good. You were at Bob Chesney's introductory press conference at JMU, and I want to ask you about that. But my main takeaway this morning is this Joe Bamisil court ruling that potentially puts him on the court for VCU. If you get Joe Bamisil on the court, another scorer, Sean Bairstow comes back off the injured list here, you know, potentially as soon as this weekend, the Saturday game against Temple, I think you've got a really good basketball team all of a sudden.
Well, not all of a sudden. Eventually you do. You got to remember, Sean and Joe have not played in a game yet this year, and you cannot expect, 30 quality minutes from them just coming in cold.
That's annoyingly rational of you, Lane.
Yeah, they're going to need their version of training camp and spring training. And head coach Ryan Odom, we kind of asked him about both of those players on Monday, and he said, when they get in, it's going to be, we got to work them up to speed. But you're right. Once they do get up to speed, if both of them can, I don't know how much I would expect out of either of them, if anything, this Saturday. But if they do get the two of them back, that's a huge boost to a team that up until this past game has struggled with their outside shooting.
It does seem like offense has been the thing for VCU this year. And are you surprised by that, given Ryan Odom's reputation coming in? I kind of thought the offense would be humming and the defense would need the work.
Well, no, I'm not surprised, only because of the fact that this is, for all intents and purposes, a brand new team, a brand new coach. This is not like he came in and there were 12 guys left over from last year that all knew how to play with each other on the court and, are just trying to get used to a new coach's philosophies and plays and diagrams. This, everything is new. I think he had four or five kids left over from last year's team and only two that saw any action on the court last year. So it doesn't surprise me. I think everybody, anybody that has watched the game for any amount of time knows that it was going to take a little patience with this VCU team, and Richmond as well, because Richmond's in the same boat. They had eight brand new kids on their roster this year as well. It doesn't manufacture overnight. Having said that, these teams are allowed to practice and work out and play together far more than they ever were under the old NCAA rules, and that has helped this portal generation get up to speed a little bit quicker, but it still takes some time.
Yeah, I think when this team was assembled, right, you say, this is a weird one-off situation, right? Mike Rhodes leaves for Penn State, takes his best players with him. Ryan Odom comes in, has to rebuild the roster overnight. There's a lot of transfers. But then in the few months since then, we've got, in this Joe Bamisil ruling yesterday, obviously not the Joe Bamisil ruling, that's how I refer to it, because he was impacted, but this broadly impacts everybody, all students, all transfers across the board. I do fear we're entering a world where these practice times are going to be necessary. Maybe even more exhibition games are going to be necessary, because it doesn't feel like we're moving away from getting more transfers anytime soon.
Well, two things about this specific ruling and how it affects the game right now. First of all, I wouldn't expect this ruling to stand. It's only a 14-day temporary injunction, and the NCAA is going to come back, and their argument is, why do we make rules if you're not going to let us enforce them? I understand where the lawsuit came from, but you have to remember the NCAA put this transfer rule in place to protect the schools and the programs. It's an odd situation that VCU is in, advocating for a kid based on his singular situation. And that's what they did with Joe. They didn't say the whole transfer rule was bad. They just said that, for the NCAA to put out how they would accept certain exceptions to this rule, he fits it. The rule is there to protect these teams from having to go through this every single year. Having kids jump around from one team to the next because you gave them a funny look in practice. I know we're kind of being absurd about that, but it's not that far off from the truth. If kids are allowed to just jump from team to team every single year, there's no way any program outside of the Dukes and the Carolinas and, the blue bloods of college basketball that can maintain any continuity. And even they might struggle with that from time to time. So the rule is there to protect the teams, and that's why I think the NCAA has a strong case for an appeal, is that, listen, we're doing this for you. We're doing this to protect you while trying to give the kids you know, as much liberty as a non-athlete might have. But if the court isn't going to let the NCAA enforce their own rules, then why are they there?
That's really well put, Lane. We got Lane Castellani of CBS 6 Sports here. And I just feel like there's been one too many schools now that have said, we're for the rules, but our kid is special. But, and too many athletic directors who have put out one too many statements about the NCAA being idiotic and short-sighted and all those things. And eventually, the fans read those things and the fans believe those things.
Yeah, but the fans, unfortunately, do not take each case in and of itself.
No.
At it is saying, oh, no, well, you know, this he should be able to. This transfer rule is stupid. No, it's not. And this is like VCU has to walk this tightrope as well, because you have to advocate for the player that is interested in joining your program while still, you know, not really wanting to piss off the NCAA that has created a rule that is there for your protection. It is a tightrope that you have to walk, and these schools take each of these things on a case-by-case basis. The fans and the general public do not.
Yeah, it feels like we've cleared out the forest one tree at a time here, and we all of a sudden looked around, there's no forest left. Lane Castellani, CBS 6, joining us as he does on Thursdays. Always appreciate hearing from him. He was out at Bob Chesney's introductory press conference at JMU. We played the clips here. Kind of a slick youngster. I heard the Junkies talking this morning. Good looking football coach, young guy. Very very slick, well spoken. What were your first impressions of new JMU football coach Bob Chesney?
He is engaging. I mean, you just can't help but like the guy when he came up to me off camera and just, you know, introduced himself again. I'm like, yeah, but coach, I know who you are. I just listened to you. And, you know, he's that guy. He comes off as genuine, but he's a mile a minute. He's one of those guys that he starts a sentence, but his mind is racing so fast that it becomes a sentence fragment and he moves on to something else. And you and I have both talked to our fair share of coaches that do that on a regular basis. The other thing that struck me about him is he's coached at three different levels of the game. He has won everywhere he has gone. He's only 46, I believe, but he's been a head coach now for 13 years with only one losing season, and that was a 5-6 season, I believe, his first year at Holy Cross when he went 4-2 in the Patriot League. This is a step up in competition. He is moving up. This isn't the Patriot League. This is the Sun Belt. This is FBS. He's got an extra 22 scholarships and things that, being a coach now in college football is more like being a CEO. You're not as much with the X's and O's. You're about managing the overall program, hiring the right people to put in place to get done what you need to get done. But I did go out. He won't have anything to do with the team during the bowl game. That's Damian Wroblewski and his ragtag bunch of misfits that, you know, God bless them for assembling some kind of staff that is going to coach kids in the biggest postseason game in school. Well, outside of the national titles they won, excuse me. I don't want to, you know,
It's an interesting discussion, though, right? Like, I think you're right. It's the natty, but it's definitely an apples and oranges, but it's a discussion.
Yeah, it's the most important game that they've had in the last 2 years. Let's put it that way. And it's just,
there you go.
It would be a validation of everything that they've done over the last 2 years. And Bob Chesney was out at practice yesterday. He's a presence. He's introducing himself to the kids. He will offer a tip here and there, but for the most part, he's just observing. He's not getting involved. He is trying to allow the staff that has been assembled their autonomy to finish the job that Kurt Cignetti and most of his staff started throughout this regular season. He also said something very interesting and very true, is that, you know, this is an odd situation where he's not coming in because the former coach failed. So he has a program that is on the rise, and his job is to not screw it up and keep the ascension going. So it's a little bit different situation than one that, you know, some of the other coaches around the Commonwealth have entered over the past decade.
So few of those jobs out there, right? Normally, as a coach, you got to take over the dud program, but he walks into a machine that's humming pretty well. Lane Castellani from CBS.
I will say, if I could just add.
Oh yeah.
The thing that I trust the most about this situation is the judgment of outgoing JMU athletic director Jeff Bourne. I trust his judgment, and he's been there for a quarter century. He's retiring. But you look at the success the JMU athletic program has had. Jeff Bourne has been the maestro of all of that. I trust his judgment to know that if he thinks Bob Chesney is the right guy for this position, I'm going to believe him.
Oh, that dude's on the heater of all heaters. Yeah, I mean, in terms of hiring coaches. Yeah, he gets the blind trust. Yeah, I said that we was hired. Like, I don't know Bob Chesney. I've never watched a Holy Cross football game. I just know that when Jeff Bourne picks a coach, it's a winner. And so I default to thinking this is going to be a good one.
Exactly, right.
Lane Castellani, CBS 6. You got anything fun cooking this weekend on CBS 6?
Well, I tell you what. Tomorrow, the voting portal opens. We have our finalists in each category for the RVA Sports Awards.
Let's go!
February, so the finalists have been finalized. Sorry, I can't think of a better phrase right now off the top of my head, but tomorrow at WTVR.com, and RichmondTourism.com, you will be able to vote for the winners of each category. I believe there's about 8 categories up there from this past year. So log on to WTVR.com tomorrow, and the finalists for each category will be there. Voting is open for a month through the holidays and into January. And it all culminates on, I believe, the 3rd of February, whatever that first Saturday is, with our third annual RVA Sports Awards.
A fantastic event, a fantastic evening, and those of us in sports radio, thank you for gifting us an easy segment for tomorrow's program. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Vote early, vote often.
Vote early, vote often. All right, Lane Castellani, CBS 6. Thanks to him for dropping by. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.